Great to have you company on what is a very, very busy morning here at SEN Breakfast. Big, big guests. Nick Riewoldt rolled in. Craig Cameron from the Gold Coast Suns to join us. Pickers at 8. Eddie Betts, Adam Uze. They're all here. Kia Sorento run out deals with 3 years free scheduled servicing, plus Australia's best 7-year warranty. Welcome to you, Rui.
Good morning. Two to go. We're going to get some action today.
We will.
We were praying for some as we left yesterday, so yeah. We'd have some good stuff. But we do have some good stuff to get to, don't we?
We've got some good stuff to get to with our man, Sammy Edmund, because whilst he was away yesterday, we didn't quite know why. I'm not sure whether he was chasing this Ollie Wine story, but it's more about...
Was he chasing or cowering?
Well, no, he doesn't cower.
They've come hard, haven't they?
They have come hard, and we thought we'd talk to him in terms of a journalist telling a story that has been refuted, and how's that sit, and then... Does it do any damage to your reputation in the process? Mind you, before I go on with this,
yes,
he has had the greatest endorsement from the old Whispers this morning. I'm not sure if you heard.
I didn't hear.
Whispy has come this morning and said, and as in terms of your Ollie Wine story, Fieldy, 110% on the money.
Ooh.
So that's a nice ringing endorsement. Okay. Welcome back to you with the hot seat, please, Sam Edmund.
So does this mean Wisp's going to be the good cop, Rui can be the bad cop? Well, might balance that, and you can be the...
Mediator.
Arbiter.
No, we're all going to be bad cops here. I had to go and watch Brad Pitt in Fury in preparation for this yesterday. Look, How did it all start?
Okay, so at the start of... And I know people can get tired of the he said, she said, but from my point of view, at the start of last week, got a tip that, hey, Carlton got a call out of the blue. And the way it was described was like, it's like... getting called up to say you've won First Division Tats Lotto and you haven't even bought a ticket. Like, they were stunned that this was even seen to be a possibility. So they sat down, they explored it. From their mind, not something they
Hang on,
stewed
can
on.
I just pick on that. They got a call out of the blue from Port Adelaide, Ollie Wines, or his manager.
Someone acting on behalf of Ollie Wines, whether with or without his knowledge. That's the best way
Are
to describe it.
Are you convinced it was an official member of Ollie Wines' team?
Not official, but certainly made it clear that they were acting in Ollie's
interest. Enough for you, though, to go and write the story, because that could be, so I'm a mate of Ollie's.
No, it was a legitimate
inquiry. How big can your team be, though? Outside of your manager, who, I mean, AFL players aren't like actors. They don't have managers and agents, and I mean, who else?
In this space, though, clubs do use what we call intermediaries, where to keep themselves at arm's length of... things like this happen.
Right. Plausible deniability.
Exactly. Yep. So you can deny what's taken place. So
you're saying Wines reach out to Carlton, though?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. And Carlton were like, wow, okay, we weren't ready for this. We're already a long way down the lines with, you know, the Papleys and Martins of the world and Eddie Betts. What can we do here? Because Cripps and Ollie Wines, midfield pairings, are pretty juicy on your degree. But they're too far down the line with those guys. They never considered it was going to be an option for them in this trade period. The price they would have to pay to get Ollie out of Port Adelaide, three years to run on a contract, a co-captain, almost ridiculously hard, too hard. They need speed. They need forward half pressure. They're committed to that. They're going with that. So they said thanks, but no thanks.
So this is what's happened, though. So Ollie has denied it. His manager has denied it. Mm. Port Adelaide have denied it. And Carlton have denied it.
It played out exactly like I thought it would play
out. This is what the message has come through. All these people have denied it. So Sam is saying someone in his camp. So how do the reporters think, the average punter who's listening to this, how are they supposed to take that?
Because I have spoken to people.
No, I'm not. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. If you're asking me and people want to know, I've spoken to people who have confirmed it. So I went through the proper channels, the Nick Geeshan, his manager. No, didn't happen. I know Port Adelaide haven't been shopping and they want him to stay. They've said that all year. So you go to other people, and people who are so close to this that they've talked about it themselves told me that it was definitely raised at Carlton and discussed at Carlton, and it definitely happened. So it was confirmed by multiple sources to the point where there's no doubt it definitely took place.
But the one thing you can't confirm is whether it was done with Ollie Wines's knowledge or not.
We can't confirm that, no.
Which if he didn't know, I mean, does that almost make it irrelevant? If he didn't know and he wasn't up for it in the first place... Does it almost make it irrelevant whether a conversation occurred or not?
Oh, I don't know what it makes it. All I can tell you is that Carlton was approached to consider the trade.
I'd be
staggered.
Make it happen.
I'd be staggered if he didn't know.
Hello, here we go. This is a man. This is a man on the other side here who came out this morning and said 110% your story.
He had a very difficult year, Ollie Wines. A lot of injuries. Yeah. Wasn't immediately called back into the side when he'd recovered from those injuries. Talk about him hanging onto the co-captaincy or not. Had a very difficult year, Ollie. We know he's from Victoria. He grew up barracking for Carlton. There's a few things that add up.
How tempting is it? How tempting is it in this scenario where you've spoken to people and those conversations have taken place, and you come out and you get smashed left and right, absolutely pilloried. How tempting is it then to say, "Well, so and so told me."
Oh, it's always tempting. You can't.
I mean, you can't. Obviously, you can't do it. But
for sure, if we don't protect the people that tell us the truth, then we're not worth the chair that
we're sitting
on.
It must be tempting,
but,
though.
But I'll tell you what was also tempting is I actually sat there with it on the screen for a good 3 or 4 days, debating whether it was worth the fallout of even doing it, because I knew that this was what was going to happen. But the stakes are so high.
Yeah. And this is the sort of stuff that has happened. This is Mike Agresta, the Carlton list boss, who was on Sports Day last night.
Oh, there's a lot of speculation this time of year. So, you know, I get names thrown around at most times. But, yeah, we won't be, you know, having a running commentary on, you know, the speculation of what players are raised and who and who's not.
You can't say to us right now that Ollie Wines wasn't offered to you in a trade scenario?
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't offered to you?
No.
Okay.
So as I said, we're not going to make discussions on any, you know, especially contracted players from other clubs.
On that point, though, he's got a little bit of wriggle room there.
Yeah, offered and raised are two different things.
Offered and raised, and how it was raised, how he was offered, who offered himself through that trade. Is there a little bit of wriggle room there?
Yes, there is.
He chose his words carefully.
He did, and they do.
Which is what they can, and they do.
And you expect them to. And for Carlton's part, they're probably thinking, gee, this doesn't reflect too great on us. If we've got stars of the competition coming to us and maybe finding out whether we're willing to trade for them or not, and then it gets out in the open, you know, it's probably not great from a Carlton perspective either. But these are the moral things you wrestle with, Rui, when you're sitting there at work trying to think, do I do this? Do I not do it? And in the end, you go with what you know is true.
Did you have the angry conversation with anyone yesterday? Because we know that Nick Geeshan put a tweet out, and we also know that Port Adelaide put a statement out which said Ollie hasn't requested a trade. No stage has the club contemplated trading him either.
No, I didn't get a call.
So where did we land in the end on the Mason Cox one? So Mason came out and said that one was fake news, but it was
true.
It was in the end confirmed.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep. Yeah. Discussions took place between Collingwood and Essendon, and maybe even discussions ongoing with someone like Mason Cox.
So from a club and a player, I mean, these are the things that absolutely drive you mad as a player when, you know, there might not be too much to it, and you think, you know, you're having these conversations or you're a part of these conversations that are just so low level that there's so you can understand, I'm sure, from the player's point of view and from Port Adelaide's point of view, this is a captain of their football club that they're talking about. They would be absolutely infuriated.
Yeah, but this has got nothing to do with Port, as I understand it.
Correct. No, and you're right. Clubs probably raise 100 player names throughout the course of the year and even more during trade period as spitballing, basically. Yeah. But what made this, I thought, a little bit different was that it had come from the outside into Carlton unexpectedly.
Now, we put a call into Nick Geeshan yesterday and he wasn't interested to come on. That's fine. So on the Mason Cox one. So Mason Cox... Yep. Still, the question about that is who brought up, but that we've moved on from that. The fact is that the conversation's been had, low level, minor, moved on. He's gone and posted fake news and then jumped on the plane and head back to America. Would he be surprised, Mason Cox, now as he sits over in America to understand that maybe these negotiations are continuing or the talks are, negotiation is the wrong term. Talks.
Or that he's still being dangled out there.
Yes.
Yeah, so because they still are after some salary cap relief, Collingwood. Mm. And that's understandable. You look at the players that they've got to potentially sign a long-term deal. Grundy wants a long-term deal. They're already paying Pendlebury a lot of money. De Goey will require a lot of money to keep him as well. They've got Darcy Moore.
Well, Pendlebury's out too. So there's four of them that need to be re-signed next year.
That's right. So they're looking at what they've got now and they're looking at what they potentially have to face in the future, the near future as well. So dangled, they are manoeuvring.
Dangled out there is one thing. Do clubs often dangle players out there without the player's knowledge? Is that something that occurs quite a lot, or is it futile because the players actually have to agree to be traded?
They do ultimately, but yeah. Cast your mind back 12 months, how aggressive Hawthorn are in this space. Like, this gets back to standoffs we're having at the moment with Hill. Burton had no desire to go to Port Adelaide whatsoever, and was angered over that. He was almost the last to find out.
Philosophically, what do you guys think? Do you think the players have too much power in this situation? And if you want free agency, well, then the trade-off is that if you can be traded by a club, you can do so without your permission. Do you think it?
But if they're contracted, then the contract's not worth anything.
The contract is worth something because it guarantees you the money.
Yeah, but if you're saying they've got too much power and their contract,
no, I'm asking the question. Do you think they do? So if it's one thing to have free agency where you can choose your destination, but if you are under contract at a football club, and we're seeing players leave and want to break long term contracts, do you think then the trade off is that clubs should be able to trade players without their permission?
Not until the clubs turn around and say to these players who want to go, like,
that's the first port of call.
Say Brad Hill, for instance, say, you're not going. It's as simple as that.
Yep. Which happens?
Well, yeah, rarely though. Not as often.
Well, okay, so it happened last year with Tim. It happens with some of the big ones.
Yeah, really.
Tim Kelly. It might even end up happening with Joe Dunn.
Brad Hill's got 2 years to go. Everyone's saying, and I agree, Brad Hill's one of the best outside runners in the competition. Frio are a side who need outside run more than as much as any other team in the competition. They've got him on a 2-year contract. They've built a list on the basis that he's there for 2 years. He goes, I'm going. And they go, righto.
Because you can't have it both ways, can you?
Why don't they just dig their heel and say, no, you're not?
Well, then they reject St Kilda's offer, which was pick six, which has now gone elsewhere.
But they haven't come out and said, you're not going, Brad.
No.
Get used to the fact that you're going to be in Perth for 2 more years, like you committed to on this contract, because we built our list around the fact that you're there.
And the opposite.
We've made decisions predicated on the fact that, oh, no, we've got that position ticked for the next few years. So our whole draft and list analysis gone, and now you reckon you're going? Uh-uh. You're staying right there, and you're doing what you're paid to do, and that is play as well as you possibly can.
The players have all the power at the
moment. I think they have all the power. I think the balance has now shifted to the player now being in command.
Because why? Because there's no point keeping Nick Riewoldt if he's unhappy to be.
That's the conversation that takes. But why do we keep this bloke if
but
he's
they
not
get
happy
over
to
it,
be?
They get over it pretty quick, don't they?
Yeah, I know, but I think clubs blink all the time
Bombers,
about this.
Bombers, Joe Danaher, Bombers. Joe, you're staying right where you are. I don't care if you don't like it or not. You're going to rehab yourself as well as you possibly can, and we'll get you out on the track. And I'll tell you what, if after 3 rounds of footy you're playing with your bottom drip dragon on the ground because you wanted to get to Sydney, you know what? You're going to cop it. Yep. Not us.
And
we won't be copping it because you've signed a bit of paper here and we're paying you big money to fulfil your commitment. So you pick yourself up, dust yourself off and go out and be an All-Australian.
Okay, and that's – I don't know if they've had that conversation,
but that's what
they're saying. Okay, we'll keep Joe Danaher. If we don't get the deal we want and we don't get players back in, they don't want draft picks, Essendon. They want players, okay? Because they've gone out to all those players that they've recruited and Stringer and Devin Smith and Scheel, these guys, and they've said to them, okay, this is what we're building. We're building a team for now. If they go back and get draft picks, they're talking about the future again. They've had Joe Danaher in those meetings when they've gone to those players and said, okay. And Joe said, I'm your centre half.
Dylan Scheel, come kick it to me.
Exactly. Yeah. That's been part of their sell, so they're not going to give up on that easily.
The other reason that they do cave in the end, the football clubs, is because, well, if Joe Danaher leaves at the end of next year, he's out. Well, then he leaves for nothing.
Well, he doesn't, though.
So you get the compensation. Yeah, well, who knows how long that's going
to... Or you can match. Next year.
And then it goes to media. It goes to an arbitration.
Speaking of things that never happen.
Arbitration, yeah.
No, I know, but this is, so what would happen, this is the other lens we put on all this. What would happen if the clubs all got together and said, we're keeping everyone to a contract? Papley's not going anywhere. Hill's not going anywhere.
No one's going anywhere anyway.
Well, that's
but
right.
It'd be boring, wouldn't it?
Well, it is for us, but not for the clubs who have done their whole list management on the basis.
We flip the rules and we flip the culture so that players could be traded. And if you want to play AFL football and you sign up for the money, you sign up for the life of an AFL footballer, part of that is you can be traded.
And how do you reckon the broader... Let's throw that out. Would you be happy for your players to be traded in contract? 0400 736 736.
As commonplace.
Just part of the rules.
Just part of the rules. Yep. Yeah, free agency and all that sort of stuff, but we will trade in contract players.
So then players are free agents whenever they're out of contract. So there's no restricted. There's no... You are just... If you're not in contract, doesn't matter if you're... been there for 1 year, 2 years, 10 years.
Mm.
If you're out of contract, you're a free agent, but you can be traded when you are in contract.
Simplified a bit.
Tell us whether you like that or not. 1-300-736-736. Give us a call. Yes, Tim?
No, I haven't got anything to say. I'm just reading some interesting text messages.
Rui is for Orbit Logistics Freight and Supply Chain Management. Orbitlogistics.com.au. Your calls or texts next.